Okay, so I guess we'll get started. My name is Megha Gandhi. I'm a recent graduate from Benedictine University in Lisle, Illinois. I just received my master's in public health, and I have a certificate in epidemiology and also a certificate in health policy and management. So the title of our study is HPV and anal intraepithelial neoplasia among men who have sex with men at a private clinic in Chicago, Illinois. The authors include myself, Dr. Julia Dyer, and Dr. Susan Chang. I have no relationships to disclose. I'll start off with a little bit of background. Men who have sex with men, or MSM, are at greatly increased risk of HPV-associated anal cancer, and HIV-positive MSM are at even greater risk. AIN, which is anal intraepithelial neoplasia, which is also defined as abnormal growth on the surface of the anal canal, is the potential precursor lesion of anal cancer, with AIN-3, the level AIN-3, indicating carcinoma in situ, or cancer within. This study proposes to look at primarily white MSM at a private clinic, a population often underrepresented in the literature. I'll begin with a schematic representation of SIL just so you get an idea of the different levels. On the left, you'll see normal cells. As we move to the right, low-grade squamous intraepithelial lesions, or LSILs, begin with condyloma, also known as warts, and in this case, anal warts. And then as we move further, there's AIN grade 1. That is very mild to mild dysplasia, or abnormality in cells. As we move up in the level, we get high-grade squamous intraepithelial lesions, or AIN grade 2, moderate dysplasia, or AIN grade 3, severe dysplasia. And AIN grade 3 can also be translated to in situ carcinoma. I'd like to discuss for a second management of pap smear results. So when a male, in this case, men who have sex with men, receive an anal pap smear, if the results are normal, you continue screening scheduled yearly, and every 2 years for HIV negative MSM. If the result of the anal pap smear is ascus, or abnormal cells of unknown origin, you proceed to an HRA, or high-resolution anoscopy. If the anal pap smear results are high-grade lesions, again, you move forward with the HRA. The HRA is where the patient provider can see inside of the anal canal using a tool. If a lesion is not found, you repeat the pap in 6 months. If a lesion is found, we proceed to biopsy. If you determine AIN-1, which is low-grade lesions, you repeat the pap and HRA in 6 months, if stable. And also, two exams, pap and HRA, every 12 months. If the biopsy determines AIN-2 or AIN-3, you would go ahead and proceed with ablation, which is removal of the lesion. You would then repeat pap and HRA in 4 to 6 months. As far as the literature review, several studies have linked lower socioeconomic status with sexual risk-taking among men who have sex with men. Young men who have sex with men with lower socioeconomic status are more likely to engage in unprotected receptive anal sexual intercourse. Lower household income is also associated with higher incidence of male anal cancer. Those with residential instability, also known as housing issues, often turn to transactional sex to obtain resources. Those with county-level medium household income of less than $50,000 had increased incidence rate of anal cancer as compared to those with equal to or above $50,000 household income. Therefore, medically underserved populations are likely to seek care at free health centers and STI clinics, especially in urban areas, as opposed to private clinics. Mm-hmm. Little to no research has been found on AIM among MSM at private clinics versus public clinics. A lot of the literature that we reviewed discussed or had studies done at institutions, research institutions, such as universities, or at public clinics, free STI clinics. So we found very little research regarding private clinics and then private clinics versus public clinics. We'll go ahead and proceed to the methods. Our study population included patients receiving an anal pap smear at a private clinic in Chicago between 2008 and 2011. A total of 243 patients were included in our study based on inclusion criteria. Of course, the inclusion criteria was men who have sex with men, and the exclusion criteria was women, transgender women, and heterosexual males. We learned this because of a survey that was provided to each patient who had an anal pap smear between 2008 and 2011. That's how we determined gender and then also sexual orientation. Health outcomes data were collected from patient medical records based on the names received through the surveys. Our measures, this was a cross-sectional study with the research outcome being anal epithelial neoplasia. Our research variables included correlates of ANE identified as HIV, HPV, and anal warts and other STIs that included gonorrhea, chlamydia, syphilis, and herpes. Our statistical analysis, which included descriptive statistics, trend analysis, and univariate analysis, were conducted using EpiInfo 7. That is the CDC's epidemiological software. We'll move forward with results. As you can see here, these are the descriptive statistics. I'll just point out a few. Those in our patient population with HIV were 36%, HPV 63%, and ANE 43%. If you take a quick look at the year of survey, the number in parentheses goes down with each year. There was a decline in the number of patients who received anal pap smears from 2008 to 2011. 96 in 08, down to 29 in 11. In terms of our stratified statistics, those with ANE who had HIV, there were 35%, with HPV, 75%, anal warts, 32%, and STIs, 11%. The HPV and anal warts are significant. HPV was significant, anal warts was nearly significant. Table 3 is the trend analysis. Again, I mentioned that there was a decline in the number of patients from 2008 to 2011. Those statistics that are significant are HIV, and then also ANE and anal warts. Table 4 is the univariate logistic regression for ANE outcome. So those with ANE, HIV, the odds ratio is 0.924. HPV 2.487, anal warts 1.763, and STIs 1.376. As you see, the HPV among those who have ANE outcome was a statistic that was determined significant. So just a summary of results among the patient population, 63% tested positive for high-risk HPV, 43% tested positive for ANE, 37% indicated they were HIV positive, and 26% had anal warts. 9% tested positive for STIs. As we talked about with the odds ratio in the last slide, univariate analysis determined HPV was 2.5 times more likely present among MSM with ANE. We'll go ahead and move forward with discussion, which includes our findings, limitations, and future implications. Our findings. Although the significant correlation between HPV and ANE among MSM has been established in the literature, it is interesting to note the correlation among a non-minority population with access to healthcare. That is to say, a well-to-do community. This study supports the literature, which recognizes the importance of interventions for all men at risk of developing ANE. It also supports the literature, which recognizes that we should not differentiate between races or socioeconomic status. And we support the literature that advocates for APS or anal pap smears that service to be provided at more locations, whether they are public or private. Our limitations included sample size. So our sample size is 243 patients, and compared to other studies that we looked at, you know, that had 603 patients, et cetera, our sample size was fairly small, so that was one limitation. Also, a major limitation was patient non-disclosure. So a lot of patients in the survey did not disclose whether they were HIV positive or not. We had to look through their medical records, which again, there is a chance of non-disclosure. Secondly, a lot of patients in the survey did not know if they had ever had an STI before, or if they had an STI, which STI they had. So that was very difficult to categorize. Another thing that was very difficult to categorize was AIN. Those levels are on a spectrum. It was very difficult to categorize the dysplasia. A lot of the patients were AIN 2 and 3. They were in between different levels. So it was very difficult to categorize AIN. So we decided to group them together just as AIN outcome or no AIN outcome. Future implications include a larger sample size that includes other metropolitan areas, and also to compare data from public and private clinics, which again, we didn't see any of in the literature. These are my references. I'd like to give a special thanks to Dr. Julia Dyer and Dyer GI Clinics of Illinois for providing the data for our research. Thank you very much. I will now give the floor to Sam.